With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sam Pets Radio, Australia's coolest podcast network.
Hey everybody, and welcome to All the Small Games. This is going to be the first part of our Best Games of 2019 episode. My name is Andrew Levins.
My name is Jonathan Valenzuela.
And joining us for the first 90 seconds of this episode to deliver his best indie game of 2019, we have extremely well-renowned, one of the best in the game, games journalist Archie Levins is here.
Hello.
Archie, just before we get stuck into our top 10 of the year, what was your favorite indie game of 2019?
Best indie game of the year, buddy. What do you got?
Goose Game. Untitled Goose Game.
Huge.
We recorded that one time together with my sister, Matilda.
Yeah, that was maybe the best ep of the year.
I think it's definitely the most popular.
It definitely is. It definitely is.
Okay, Archie, you just saw a sticker on John's laptop. What is it? It's a sticker of
Donut County.
I think it was your favorite. That was your favorite indie game of last year, I think. Yeah. Hey, I thought of another indie game that you loved this year. Hold Down. You played heaps of that.
Oh, I love that one. I think I want to make it like
runner
bigger.
Up. Honorable mention. If you can say the words honorable mention, it can be your honorable mention. Go.
Honorable mention.
Close enough.
Honorable mention.
Okay, well you can go play video games on the iPad now. You've done your.
You've earned it.
Yeah, this is your work for the day done. Well
okay,
done.
Then I'll take this off. Bye.
He's attacking the equipment.
See you, Archie.
Bye, Archie.
Bye.
Hey, wait, you didn't tell us why Goose Game was your favorite.
Because it's so fun.
What does the goose say?
Honk, 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 honk.
Is that the best, is that one of the best parts of the game? Getting to honk?
No. It's getting to get away from all the characters. Bye.
See you, Archie. Thanks for all your input this year.
You did great.
Well, now that Archie's gone,
yes,
it's just the men. Am I right, John?
Damn straight.
Oh, yeah, it's cold 1 o'clock.
Hell yeah!
It's been a long year, John Valenzuela.
It has, but it's been, you know what? It's been a damn good year. For small games,
and especially I would say the first half of this year was some of like the most. That was every night I went to bed going, I'm so happy I have an indie games podcast because there was that many incredible indie releases. I think there was a bit of a lull in the middle of the year.
That's fair.
But yeah. Then we've come home strong in these final months, I reckon.
Definitely.
So we're going to go through our top. This episode we'll do our from 10 to 5.
10 to 6.
10 to 6.
And
yes,
then 5
right.
through
so
1. For the
we've
next.
Got some, I reckon we've got some honorable mentions.
Do we want to do... funnily enough, I re-listened to last year's Game of the Year episode in prep for this episode. And we had like a minor argument about where honorable mentions go in the scheme of...
What did my crazy 2018 ass have to say
about
that?
Well, the weird thing is, our last one was back when we do like 2-hour episodes. Uh-huh. That was the norm. And so the honorable mentions were happening during that episode regardless. I think we did it after.
Right.
So let's...
What are your thoughts? What do you reckon?
I feel because it's a split into two, let's just do them up front.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I totally agree. Sounds good. So honorable mentions for me. One of them is a disclaimer. This is a game
you
that...
You played a disclaimer this year?
I played a game that I did not like at first and said I would return to it when they patched it.
Okay. Oh.
And that game is Bloodstained Curse of the Moon.
Ritual
of the Night. Ritual sorry, of Curse Night. Of the Moon is last year. Yeah. Ritual of the Night. Bloodstained Curse Ritual of the Night of, you know, the game, the spiritual successor to Castlevania Symphony of the Night. It was released... earlier this year, it came out on PS4 and PC at first, and everyone was like, this is amazing. And then they did a Switch version, and suddenly the press switch shifted from this game is good to this game is bad.
Yeah.
Because of the performance issues on the Switch. They took forever to patch it, but I imagine there was a lot of work. I mean, I played it unpatched, and it was a very slow, messy game.
Hot garbage.
But you could tell there was a good game in there somewhere. I recently put 3 hours into it since it's been patched.
Oh, really? Okay.
Beat a few bosses, visited a few new levels, got some upgrades, some crazy new powers. There is so much to that game that I was like, even though I was enjoying it immensely, and I was like, you know, I still don't like it as much as another Metroidvania that I loved this year. But I definitely want to put that out there as, if it was as good as it is now when it came out, I probably would have finished that game, and I reckon it may have gotten a spot in my top 10 list.
Interesting. Okay. How long did it take for them to patch it to this point? Like, it would have been like 4 months.
4 to 5 months, yeah. It was a while. But like, you know, it's pretty significant. The game looks a lot better, and more importantly, it runs a lot more smooth. There's a lot less loading in between rooms. In fact, there's almost none.
Okay.
Which is what you want in a Metroidvania game, where you're, you know, encouraged to backtrack and grind and do all that great stuff.
The amount of moving around a Metroidvania expects, you want it to be pretty seamless.
And I would say, yeah, like the biggest pet peeve for me when playing, not even just indie games, a lot of third-party games, you never experience it with Nintendo games, like first-party games, loading on the Switch. I loading is probably the worst thing about playing games on the Switch. There are some games, like I had in time recently, like, that especially when a game, like, you know, where it takes a while to get good or something, and every time you're going in between levels or whatever, and you've got to wait up to a minute just looking at a static image while a game is loading, or, and you're like, or is it
we're like slow bar,
that thought open enters your head where you're like, is it broken?
Yeah I'm half the time when that happens, I've gotten my phone out and I'm playing something else while waiting for another game to load. So
yeah, that's no way to play.
No, tiny attention span. Me,
you got an honorable mention for me?
I got a bunch of honorable mentions. Are we going back and forth here?
I've only got one or two more.
Perhaps are we tuned for tuning?
Do you want me to burn through my honorables?
Do it. Burn through yours, and I'll burn through these mine honorable real quick. Shows.
I have another game that I unfortunately wasn't able to put too much time into. Two more games, actually.
Okay.
One of them is Eagle Island.
Yes.
A game that I spoke about earlier in the year. It is a... semi kind of Metroidvania exploration adventure platformer where you play a dude who has an eagle on his arm, and the eagle, you send the eagle out to do the combat.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, like you aim the eagle and then you shoot the eagle, and then you get power ups that allows the eagle to like shoot through several things at once, and you basically have to go into almost dungeons, and they are procedurally generated.
Okay.
If you die in those dungeons, you've got to jump back to the start.
Right.
If I had a lot more spare time in these last few months, it would have been the game that I sunk a lot more time into.
Sure.
But yeah, I've finished the first two dungeons, and then I keep getting kicked back to the beginning of the third. And I was, and like, you know, when you're already stressed enough outside of your life, the last thing you need is a game making you stressed too. So at some point in 2020, Eagle Island is a game that I definitely want to complete. Definitely check out some footage if you haven't heard or seen any of this game before. It's definitely a sleeper hit of 2020.
Cool.
2019. What fucking year is it? Yeah.
And the other one?
And then the other one that I haven't finished yet, because it only just came out, is the final campaign of Shovel Knight.
Oh, yes, of course. King of Cards just came out.
Where you play as King Knight. I've played, I don't know, maybe like the first... just under an hour, a few levels of that where you play as basically an entirely new character, King Knight, who was one of the bosses in the original Shovel Knight campaign. And he has an entirely different new move set to Shovel Knight himself. Basically, it's kind of like a mix between Wario. So you barge into enemies, or you can jump and barge. And then once you barge into them, you shoot into the air and then pirouette down.
Okay.
And so, which is kind of like that, like I don't know, that the new Super Mario Brothers Wii, where you had that weird hat where you span up in the air and then you slowly came down and you could bounce back up like that.
Yep.
So basically he like spins down and you can land on enemies and kind of hop to break blocks or enemies, but you can't just walk into an enemy, you have to barge into them.
Okay.
It takes a while to get used to like all of the new ways of playing, but it amazes me that, like, I mean, Shovel Knight to begin with, he was never like, you know, the run of your mill platforming character. You've got to, you know, use your shovel and strike down to kill the enemies. I just love that they've thought of now like four different characters in relatively similar terrain, but they edit all the courses so that you can use your new ways of combat and traversal from the new characters.
Yeah.
So those are the three that I have played and really enjoyed and wish I could play more of before I submitted my 2019 best.
Sure.
There are a few that I unfortunately wasn't able to play. Obviously, Outer Wilds, which I imagine is going to feature fairly highly on your list. It came to PS4. PS4 is way harder for me to put time into than Switch, and I'm still trying to get through, you know, an 100-hour play of Death Stranding at some point.
Sure.
So that will be the next game I buy on PS4. And then again, another game that just came out on PS4 that I've been looking forward to for a long time is Watam.
Yes.
Watam, which is the game by the creator of Katamari Damacy, mm-hmm. Japanese developer, and he has done Nobby Nobby Boy. He's just an endlessly creative and weird director of video games. These games are so joyous and crazy to play. In this game, you can inhabit anything. So, like,
I think so. It's one of those ones that, like, I've seen it around but haven't gotten a good idea of what the game is.
Yeah, I can't imagine it's going to be that long of a game. But, no. Yeah, like, you can be anything from, like, a piece of sushi to a poo to, like, you know, a house. And everything has a face on it. And then you can just be that thing and interact with the world. It makes no sense to try and describe. But that's something else that I look forward to playing, too. I reckon the kids will love that one, too.
Yeah.
And then finally... again, that I did finish, that is just outside. I would say this would be number 11.
Okay.
It's a Devolver published game called Piku Niku.
Right.
a really, really cute adventure puzzle game. And in fact, I am going to give it an award. I'm going to give it my best soundtrack of the year.
Really?
Yeah, I loved that that game. I'm going to talk about a few other games that had amazing soundtracks this year. But as far as earworms go...
Sure.
That game had the most ones that would just get stuck in my head for so long, especially that main theme that... I could just do that for the next half hour. But... yeah, it's an unbelievably creative and fun soundtrack. It was a gorgeous game to look at and really, really fun to play. But I think it, it's just a collection of odd things you can do as this funny character as opposed to like a game.
Yeah, sure.
But I would still absolutely recommend it. And it was a very early highlight of 2019 for me.
I'd put Piku Niku in like the kind of Wonder Song basket, where it's like a great... Wonder Song obviously was a bit more meaty of a game. There was more sort of game to it.
But yep.
It's definitely something that I could hand to an 8-year-old, and I know the 8-year-old's going to love it.
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of. Yeah, that's a game that the kids will play at some point.
All right. So, finish with your honorable mentions and missed out ons.
Yep, that's
all right. All
right,
my turn.
Unless you say ones that I forgot, and then I'll steal those.
I'm actually curious because I sat down and put a bunch of research into this.
I reckon my entire top five will be in your honorable mentions.
That's my prediction. I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised. I'm interested to see. All right, my honorable mentions. Baba Is You.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely enjoyed it, but it just, like, the difficulty level shot up so quickly that I was like, this game makes me feel like a dummy. I don't want to Google every solution.
Yeah,
so.
It's a game that I definitely want to get back to because I've been hearing more and more podcast hosts that played much more of it than us talk about it this year. I've been like, God damn, I need to go back to that.
Yeah.
Apparently, it opens up in a big way once you get past a certain point.
Okay,
too.
Okay, yeah. Cool. But Baba Is You, big shout out. Skate City from Apple Arcade.
Yeah, right, I think I've downloaded it. I've never opened it.
From the guys that did Alto's Adventure and Alto's Odyssey.
Yep.
Just a... like a really good mobile-based skate game. Like,
yeah.
Hell yeah. Thanks,
chill,
guys.
Chill as, right?
Don't Feed the Monkeys, which is that cool, like, little weird surveillance game that I was playing on my phone. That was really fun. After Party, so the new one from the guys that did Oxenfree. It's. I think it falls in the same category as some of your honorable mentions in that I just didn't get enough time with it. Like, it might have made it onto my top 10 of the year list had I spent a bit more time with it, and I do hope... hopefully over these holidays to finish it or at least put some more time in. But
yeah, the general consensus around that game is like, oh, it's good, but it's not as good, or maybe not as doesn't make as a bigger impression as Oxenfree did.
I think Oxenfree really introduced a lot of the mechanics that like were impressive in Oxenfree, but they've repeated in After Party, and it's like, okay, it's those again. Cool. But still, like, it's a fun setting, having it in hell, all that kind
of
stuff.
Here's why I shouldn't be in charge of video game companies. I would have been like, no, our next game is Oxen Paid DLC.
The Tourist with a Y.
Yeah, you know what? That should be on my one too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great, like, super fun little experience, but not, like, against all the games that came out this year. Like, there were so many really fucking good games that came out this year.
Yeah, I have like, I should like full transparency, I have my 10 favorite. I haven't numbered them yet because I couldn't do it, so I'm going to be doing that on the fly live.
Okay, that's gonna be real interesting to watch,
especially that top five. I've changed my mind on it so many times
because I've put a lot of thought into this.
No, me too. I just can't. I can't.
Oh, you can't choose. Yeah, right. My Friend Pedro.
Mm-hmm.
Super fun. Just it did what it did over and over and over again, that I reached a point of like, okay.
Yeah, I think, you know, it was funny, of all the Devolver games coming out this year, that was the game that we were both looking forward to the most.
Yeah.
And while it was totally enjoyable, I think Devolver actually put out like a number of games that fell, I would say fall into the same genre as what Pedro was, you know, the slowdown, you know, almost like Hotline Miami-esque kind of shooter, or like, you know, action game where, yeah, you know, you die and try again constantly. And I think they have two in particular that were much, much stronger than my friend Pedro ended up being, for me at least.
Sure.
Yeah.
And last two, Pikuniku.
Yep.
And Gata Roboto,
mm,
which I might wind up on your list. I think that's the one that I most suspect potentially will.
Yeah, I don't even know.
Right.
I reckon we'll find out.
We definitely will find out. And finally, the ones that I missed out on this year, mainly because they're on PC, and only recently was I like, hey, I have a PC. I could play PC games. Hypnospace Outlaw, which I've been kind of semi-obsessively reading best game of 2019 lists over the last,
and it's been showing up
2 weeks
in
or so,
of the horrible name.
Yeah, it's been popping up on a few lists. It's a game about like, you're essentially like a content moderator in the early 2000s internet.
Yep.
Like, it sounds, and it has the aesthetic from back then and everything. It sounds really wild. I want to give it a go. Sunless Skies, which is a sequel to another game called Sunless Seas. It's like a Victorian England steampunk space exploration game. Very heavy focus on like writing and story, so that's my bag. Watam.
Yep.
Like, I think for me that might be on PC, but I think it's
just PS4 at this point.
Yeah, that's one of the ones where it's like, well, shit, I don't have a PS4.
Did Annapurna publish that one as well?
Yes.
Yeah, right there.
Yeah, it's an Annapurna one. Horace, which is a game that I only really just found out about over the last couple of days, but it looks really cool. It's like a little Metroidvania style platformer where you play a robot butler who's like kind of learning his place in the world and stuff. It looks like
episode is cancelled. Yeah. I'm off to buy a PC so I can play this game.
Knights and Bikes, which is the new, I think Double Fine were involved in it.
Okay, right.
I think it's on PS4 and PC. And finally, Superliminal, which is that like force perspective first person puzzle game that I was very stoked off. It didn't do very critically well, which I was kind of bummed about.
Yeah,
but
sure.
I still want to play it, only on the Epic Store at the moment. But apparently there is plans to release this on Switch, so I'm hanging out till that kicks in.
Yeah.
Till that arrives. But yeah, those are my honorable mentions and my, gee, I wish I played those of the year. Do I do best soundtrack now?
Yeah, you can do best soundtrack.
Yeah, Sayonara Wild Hearts.
Okay, sure.
Hell of a soundtrack. I love the way it's like, it was baked into the game, essentially. Like, you couldn't have the game without the soundtrack.
Yeah, absolutely.
You couldn't have the soundtrack without the game. I mean, for earworms, like, the track Wild Hearts Never Die, I still every once in a while, I'm just like, sing the chorus, essentially, because it's just so damn catchy. But yeah, great, great soundtrack. Bought it on Apple iTunes. What the fuck am I saying? Apple iTunes.
Apple Music?
Bought it wherever you buy music from Apple.
The iTunes store.
Yeah.
Do you not have Apple Music? You're not a streaming music guy?
No, I like to buy.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I have to buy for DJing, but
sure.
I guess I listen to probably way more of it than
yeah. you. I should buy more stuff, like see if it's on Bandcamp before I just buy off Apple, because they get a way better deal off
yeah,
Bandcamp.
Right, yeah,
but there's totally. Extra steps. Anyway, yeah, Annapurna, Sayonara Wild Hearts, that's my soundtrack of the year.
Well, do you feel like continuing to talk about this game, John? Because it's my 10th favorite game of the year.
Oh, shit. Okay, cool.
Sayonara yeah. Wild Hearts. I guess it came out on Switch. You played it on Switch.
Yes.
And I was really looking forward to playing it on Switch. I remember it announced at the Video Game Awards last year.
Mm.
It was like the first new game they announced when the awards started. And of course, you had the big, you know, Annapurna logo at the beginning. And like, you're like, oh, fuck yeah, that's going to be very, very cool. And then I guess when it came out and your first description of it, I was like, oh, so it's just like an album that you play. And it's like kind of a rhythm game, but it's not really. I guess I wasn't really sure what it was going to be at first, and then hearing descriptions of it, it just wasn't what I thought it was not going to okay. be.
It is. It's. I remember playing it, going, "This is very tough to pigeonhole this game."
Like, yeah,
it combines so many different sort of elements from other genres. Like, it's an on track racer, it's an endless runner, it's a rhythm game, it's a this, it's a that kind of thing. Like,
but like I think, you know. Obviously, Apple Arcade completely won us over immediately with
yes.
what I would argue. I mean, like, and I hope people consider this, you know, once they look back on it many years into the future. Like, Apple Arcade's launch lineup is the strongest lineup any games console or service has ever had, in my opinion.
Insane.
And so, obviously, like, What the Golf was the one game that hooked us immediately. Both of us were just like, okay, this is the game that I'm finishing first.
Sure.
And I remember being on a plane, and my Switch battery ran out while I was playing Link's Awakening, and I had, like, 2 hours left on this flight to Perth. And so, I opened Sayonara Wild Hearts and played it, and I like, played all of it in that 2 hours.
You can wrap it up in two.
And then I finished the game, and then immediately went back and just found my favorite parts and replayed them again.
Yeah.
Mostly because, yeah, one, like, it almost felt like I have, you know, since downloaded the soundtrack on Apple Music, but it almost felt like cheating to hear the music again while not playing it again.
Okay.
So, like, I wanted to go and experience that. I feel like the music is so much more fun when you're playing along to it, because, you know, these little mini levels that you get, these songs that you play along to, they're so carefully timed to the soundtrack. the emotional high points, you know, the story is kind of, you know, it's like a kind of breakup empowerment tale.
Yeah, that's fair.
But it's so much fun. There are very, very difficult parts playing that on the phone, because you've got to swipe your finger
sure.
to dodge things a lot faster than you would, be able to move a joystick.
Oh no, it was still difficult as shit on the Switch for that exact reason. Like, never knowing, it felt a little floaty, like never knowing exactly where I was going to wind up.
Yeah. But, you kind of don't care, because you keep being treated to hearing parts of that amazing soundtrack as you replay certain bits, and it's pretty forgiving with checkpoints.
Yeah, definitely.
I thought it looked really good, but yeah, you're right. The soundtrack is the one of the best things about that game. It's my 10th favorite of the year. That's my number 10.
Alrighty. My 10th of the year is Grindstone.
Cool, another Apple Arcade hit. Yes. I probably should have put this on my honorable mentions.
Oh, Grindstone.
Yeah, but I got to a point where I was just like, I don't know what the fuck to do, how to win this part. And
sure.
Yeah, yeah.
It definitely, like, some of the sort of the loot system it has can be a little bit frustrating. I'm definitely like, because a quick explanation of the game. It's sort of a remix of a Match 3 style game. You play as a barbarian. On the board in front of you is a bunch of colorful monsters. You need to link monsters of the same color together into a chain.
And your barbarian, like, smashes through all these...
rips through in, like
visceral, like, you know, yeah. like, you know, different color blood splashing everywhere. It's very cartoony, so it's not gory, but, you know.
It's cartoony, but it's visceral what he does to these monsters.
Like, spleens and things flying around the screen. It's awesome.
And as you do kind of extended chains, you put crystals on the board that allow you to change color, so you can just, like, after a few rounds, you're racking up, like, giant 20 to 30 monster chains and getting rewarded for it and all that kind of stuff. And then as you go, you know, as you move through the levels, they introduce like various kind of puzzly elements to it. Like, how do I deal with this particular thing happening on the level? Or
the power-ups as well you can use. Yeah.
It's really fun. For a Match 3 game, like, they nailed it on the head.
Totally. And it's also like, you know, we're now in the era of, you know, if you want to play a match three game, there's like a cool down period and you've got to buy hearts with real life money if you want to keep playing. And it was so fun to have a game that you could just play again and again and again without ever having to worry of, you know, paying more money to play.
My beef with it was that you can get equipment, like different kind of sword attacks or different armors, different arrow, like bow and arrows kind of thing. You'd need to replenish those at the workshop using loot that you find in the world. I ran out of loot for... I really like the poison arrows because the poison arrows would like take off 3 points of health over three turns. So you could use them in a pinch to like whittle down a really heavy monster before going in for the kill. They needed poison mushrooms to be made.
Right.
I'm up to like the 90th level, somewhere around that area. I can't remember where the poison mushrooms come from in terms of levels. So I now can't use poison arrows. Like, I just wish there was some way to be like, I need this resource, and it goes like, oh, hit these levels to get that. Like, that would make the game a lot easier. Like,
yeah, that's a really good point.
A lot more user-friendly, in my opinion.
Yeah, the fact that you have to get resources to build, to you know, craft things that will, like, you know, some of them are, you need the power-ups in those levels.
Oh, yeah.
Some of those more difficult levels.
Definitely.
I actually felt a bit more like a pay-to-play game.
Yeah.
You have to play to play it.
Yeah, yeah. What you're paying is your time.
Yeah.
And that's the, like, I genuinely don't mind that. I understand the concept of grinding, and if the game is fun enough, I'm happy to do that. But make it easy for me to grind. Show me where I need to go to do this. I don't want to have to, like, endlessly scroll through all the levels, like, clicking on each one to be like, nope, not there, not there, not there, kind of thing.
Yeah, it'd be fun if there was, like, a weird, like, kind of fairly easy at first endless mode where you just keep getting resources and then you can duck out or keep playing to get better loot.
Well, that was, I mean, I remember when we were both going nuts for it at the same time, mentioning to you that, like, because you have, on each level, you need to complete a task. Most of the time, it's kill, like, 50 monsters. And then the door for the exit will unlock and you can exit. But then after you unlock that door, a chest will appear that requires you to like get a key and then build up a certain big enough chain to open it. And also a king will appear and you need to take the king out. And I was discussing with you like how the level doesn't really start until you've opened the exit. Then
yeah,
it's
totally.
Like, cool, I need to tick off these other two things. And this is like, particularly since by the time you reach that point, the level is ridiculously hazardous by that point in time.
As angry monsters show up in spades, yeah.
Yeah, the little angry, like, the monsters are generally happy, but they can turn angry, and if you wind up next to them, they'll attack you, and
you can only get struck three times unless you're wearing armor.
Yeah.
And even the armor only lasts one strike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love Grindstone. I thought it was a great game to have on mobile this year.
Yeah, it's arguably the best game on Apple Arcade, if you're good at it.
Right, sure.
Yeah.
All right. Number nine, shall I hit it first?
Yeah, go for it, bro. Hit it up.
My number nine is weirdly one of the most recent games I played. It's Children of Morta.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I finished it.
Oh,
which
wow.
Which is kind of wild considering it's a rogue-like. I just thought it was great. The story as it turned out was kind of a bit lackluster towards the end. Like, without spoilers, the story kind of hinges on it's an alien, which I was like, that's a fucking cop out. But the combat is fairly simple but really fun and really engaging, especially as you're dungeon crawling, you pick up various power-ups that, like, by the time you reach the end and face the boss, you're like, hell yeah, let's do this, son, I'm ready to rumble. I loved the way that it would, like, it gave you so many different characters to play with different fighting styles and weapons. And then, I was going to say encouraged, forced is really the right word. After you go on a long run with a character, it would become exhausted and you'd have to, by necessity, choose a different character to play with next.
Yeah, that's such a fun
mechanic. It really made me go like, okay, I'm going to try this guy now.
It's the argument that I never understood when people were like, oh, Breath of the Wild's a fun game, but I hate that the weapons degrade and break. It's like, yeah, but that's just encouraging you to play with other weapons. It should be, like, it's great. It means you will never, like, get into a rut of just doing the same moves over and over again. Like,
I totally agree with you. My one beef with that is, let me buy weapons from somewhere.
No.
That was what frustrated me, because I think I did a run at Ganon's castle, burnt all my weapons, and then was like, I don't want to play this game. I'm out of weapons. This sucks. But that's like one of the biggest games of all time. Yeah, Children of Mordor, I especially loved, even though the story did wind up bugging me, I loved the way it was presented in little like vignettes in between levels, using a narrator as kind of like overseeing what's happened rather than actually giving a voice to the characters. And particularly the way like it bucked some adventure game trends. Like, this is a family living together in a house. It's not all blood and swords and magic. Sometimes they sit down for dinner. Sometimes they're building a house for a dog that they found. Like, just really cute little moments like that.
Yeah, that's great. This is definitely on my I need to playlist.
Yeah, it was just such a strong, like, I went in going like, yeah, I'm sure this is going to be fine. And went out the other side like, fuck that. I really liked playing that game. That was great.
When did you finish it?
Like
last week or something?
Yeah, I think so.
That's awesome.
I was going to message you, but it was like midnight. And I'm like, no, I'm going to go to bed instead.
I should point out that, so yeah, like the first game we talked about was Sayonara Wild Hearts. It was published by Annapurna,
developed by Samogo.
The game you just talked about, Children of Mordor, developed by Dead Mage and published by 11-bit Studios.
And Grindstone was...
Well, it's on Apple Arcade.
It's on Apple Arcade.
I assume they also made the game. Steve Jobs made the game.
From Beyond the Grave, with Tim Cook. It was Capybara. Oh, hell right, yeah, right, the guys yeah. that did Sword and Sorcery.
That's right, yeah.
That's great.
Developed and published. That was also, yeah, one of the games nominated for Best Mobile Game at the Game Awards, along with a few other games that I'm pretty sure are going to show up on our list.
Yeah.
And fucking COD Mobile. Call of Duty Mobile.
No, that...
Shut up.
That sucked, but it did blitz the industry. Like, everyone's a huge fan of... Even Joyride's doing ads for Call of Duty now.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
On his stories, he's like, oh, I'm playing Call of Duty on mobile. Say, like, hashtag PlayStation, hashtag ad.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm so jealous.
Get that money, son.
So my ninth favorite game of 2019 is a little game that I haven't finished, but I loved it dearly. It's called Slay the Spire.
Of course.
While you look up the information of who made and published it,
I'm on it.
Slay the Spire is a card-based roguelike game in which you are given a hand of card, deck of cards and a few like little things that change every run for you. Maybe you'll get like a gem that, you know, instantly takes off 10 health off every enemy you face, or like, you know,
it's a useful gem.
Yeah, I mean it's about the risk. You can get a cursed gem.
Ooh.
So, like, you know, it gives you, like, 10 extra cards that are useless, but it also does something useful for you.
Sure.
But so with your deck of cards, you have to basically make it through a series of dungeons where you have turn-based card combat, where you, like, select a hand and play that against, you know, your enemy before they take you down. You obviously want to make sure you defend enough so that you can see how much damage each enemy is going to take off you. So you use your defense cards first and foremost. And then when you can, while they're cooling down or whatever, you attack them with your attack cards. Hearing that describe that now, I'm like, God, that is such an unappealing sounding game.
Oh, of course. But
I put 5 minutes into this game and I was like, wow, I think I love card-based combat games. And
what's happening to me?
Look, I didn't let myself get as hooked on it as other people I've recommended this game to, like Zamet from, Thumb Cramps and Sans Pants. He's put, I think, like near 100 hours into this game. I think he's won it with some of the characters, but not others. I'm around the 10-hour mark on this game.
Right. Haven't beat it.
I'm too dumb to beat it.
Sure. It's like me and Into the Breach.
It's very, very good comparison point, actually. I reckon that this is like 2019's Into the Breach. Just like, you know, a game that you don't think you're into, but it's presented in such a way that it's just so appealing that you keep wanting to give it one more run.
Yeah.
And I can see myself as like a stoner in my early 20s living alone, this just being my life.
Just slaying your spire over and over again. And also playing Slay the Spire.
Highly recommend this game.
Nice.
I assume this is going to be a pretty heavily discounted game over Christmas. In fact, almost every game on my list is a game that is discounted in Switch's current sale until the 2nd of January.
Yeah, so, I got to cop Slay the Spire. I think I might.
You would love it, man.
I'd do it. when I get the chance.
Fucking do it.
Yeah.
So it's by number 9.
It is developed by Megacrit Games.
That's right.
And for the very detail-oriented people in the audience, yes, it did originally come out in 2017 on PC, but Switch release was this year, and we make the rules of this list, so...
I would say it's also the definitive edition of this game as well. It's a game that they've added several characters to since that initial release, and like I think we are now entering a point when, yeah, a lot of these games come out on PC, you know, a year, 2 years before they're released on consoles, but you could almost look at that as it's the beta.
Right.
You know, there's another game that's showing up, and that came out last year on PC that I'm going to talk about much later in the list. And it's almost a completely different game. The version that initially came out on PC, they add, you know, extra components to the story. They, you know, new parts of the game. In Slay the Spire's case, when Slay the Spire first launched, you could only play as one character. Now you can play as four, and each of that is a like drastically different campaign. So if you want to maybe put a caveat on it, like, you know, console edition of Slay the Spire is my game of 2019. But I don't know. One, also don't care that much about people saying slightly older games are there.
To finish the point I was making to the very detail-oriented people, go fuck yourselves. We make the rules around here. All right, so that was your, what was that, number 8?
That was number 9 for me.
That was your number 9. Okay, so we're now into number 8. Hit us.
Okay, so number 8 for me is another Apple Arcade game. And it's a game we've mentioned a few times already this episode. It is What the Golf.
Hell yeah. Okay.
What the Golf is a... Okay. It's billed as a golf game for people who hate golf games.
Yes.
I love golf games.
Right.
I played many, many hours of Endless... What was that golf game?
I know the one you're talking about. God damn it.
You put me onto it.
Yeah.
Even though I played many hours, apparently. You were the one who told me about it, so you should know what this game is called. It was a Desert Golf.
There it is.
And even like dating back to the NES, I always loved, you know, that, just that, you know, classic example of like, you know, waiting for the altitude and the power levels to be at the right part, and then swinging against the wind. Like even the most primitive golf games I've enjoyed. As someone that doesn't actually like the actual game of golf, computer game golf has always appealed to me.
Sure.
But What the Golf is, it starts out as a fairly normal golf game, where you pull your finger back on the phone and then release it to fire your golf ball.
Literally just the first level.
Exactly. And then with 10 seconds, after starting that first level, when you get that hole in one, suddenly it starts fucking with you. And when you pull back and think you're going to release the ball, instead, like the actual golfer himself goes flying in the direction of the hole. And then, you know, it just keeps getting more and more creative and silly past that. John and I talk about humor in games constantly. I think this is by far the most I've laughed in a game, certainly this year, if not ever.
Yes.
Where that completely unexpected physics stuff where, like, you know, playing with what you think is going to be the ball in each level, and suddenly... You know, the last thing you expect is going to fire out in place of the ball. And it's so funny. It's such a good game to show someone to. And I think this is just such a clever use of the application, because when you open the game for the first time, even if you've been playing it for hours, you can either continue your game or you can swipe to the right and say, show a friend.
Yes.
And it will give you like a 20 level smorgasbord of the best levels the game has to offer to kind of show how fun and creative this experience is. And I've given that to my dad, I've given that to my son, many friends, and everyone's just like, this is so funny, and so instantly sold on it. I think there might be someone pretending to be Santa Claus in my neighborhood, because there's just someone ringing a bell.
Weird.
School's out for the summer, everybody.
Bring out your dad.
Do you ever listen to Big Alice Cooper? I reckon his favorite indie game of 2019 is...
probably What the Golf as well. Sure, I think he does play a lot of golf, actually.
What's your basis for that?
I don't know. Gloves?
But yeah, What the Golf is just... It was just like such a great source of fun. And they've actually kept updating this game. There's actually a Christmas pack now. This is going to go up just before Christmas. What you should do, instead of talking to your relatives on Christmas Day,
yeah,
open up What the Golf. It's about a half hour long campaign. It's an advent calendar.
Oh, okay, the Christmas one, right.
So every day is... So you, have you played this right or no?
No, I haven't played the Christmas one. I thought you meant the entire game was about a half hour. I'm like, no, it's not.
No, yeah, the Christmas as in like... Okay, if you've already played and finished What the Golf, like we both have.
Sure.
Christmas Day, open up that advent calendar. Every day of Christmas, you've gotten a new... Two new challenges. Basically, the first which is shooting the number from the advent calendar into a hole.
Oh, amazing.
And then you get another like kind of vaguely festive themed golf course. It's really, really
fantastic.
Fun. It's just, yeah. You know, such a great, like, you know, physics games can be very, very fun. And I can't imagine how this was to play on devices that weren't mobile, because it just, for me, it was just so well tuned to using your finger. Love this game.
Awesome.
Who developed and published it?
It is Triband is the developer.
Yeah.
And published by... hold on, I have it here. Says it's published, self-published, and also Fig, which is the crowdfunding platform set up by Tim Schafer, among other people, and The Label. I have no idea who The Label.
Don't find out.
Was nominated in the Game Award for Best Mobile Game.
It is insane that didn't win it.
I voted for it.
Yeah.
That was my vote for mobile. And
like, I get that. I just like COD shouldn't be allowed to win Best Mobile Game.
No.
It should only be allowed to win Best COD Game in the last decade.
Yeah, sure. And even then, I don't think it would win. The
latest, well, the mobile game shouldn't.
The latest COD wouldn't.
Isn't the latest COD fairly well regarded?
Yeah, but I mean, fuck Call of Duty. Let's not talk about, like, it's given me great joy to have been looking through all these best of 2019 lists and just not seeing Call of Duty in a lot of them. Like, I'm actually, I've been surprised by how many of these lists have almost majority indie games on them.
Yeah, right, cool.
Like, it's been great to see, like, all these kind of, you know, there's definitely, you know, publications where it's like, all of them are AAAs. And it's like Sekiro and Death Stranding and this and that, and it's obviously just like, right, you guys play the big games.
Yeah, maybe. I think there's enough AAA games coming out each year that if you're a mainstream press, like, once you start playing all the AAA games, you don't have time to play indie games. So yeah, I do understand it.
That's fair.
Yeah.
But it has been very heartening to see so many indie games showing up on these lists. Anyway, my number 8 is... Hold on, my phone's gone to sleep. I haven't memorized these. Sayonara Wild Hearts. Yeah. I agree with everything Levin said previously about it. I think one thing I'd add is just, like you were saying, like, listening to the soundtrack outside of it felt like cheating. The art, and by art, I mean, like, the design of the levels, the way they've designed them to work with the songs and all that kind of stuff. Gameplay-wise, it was almost, like, too frustratingly difficult to really feel like a good time, but I was so...
Oh, really?
I of course I sucked at the game. Like, I don't think I got... Because I got, bronze, silver, and gold ranks.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I just did bronze across the board almost, with maybe one or two silvers in there. So I wasn't good at the game, but I was so caught up in just the sheer spectacle of it. I think that the first level is that, like, amazing... electronica version of Claire de Lune.
Oh, that's like my favorite song in the game.
When you're like longboarding over that crazy winding road, and it was the first thing I saw. I'm like, oh my god, what is happening here? This is amazing. The character designs are like really fucking cool. Like, you see the various, because it's all based on tarot, I think, the tarot
that's right,
card
yeah.
deck. All the various gangs they have based off these tarot cards. I'm just like, shit, man, cosplayers are going to be going bonkers for this, because it's just like a nice suit and a domino mask and boom, you're in. But yeah, I think it was such a goddamn strong entry on the games as art list, essentially.
Have you been watching The Watchmen?
No.
John does not watch The Watchmen. No. But Claire de Lune
answers that question.
Features very, very heavily in
that too.
But every time it came on, I was like, fuck yeah, Sayonara Wild.
Yes, let's play some Sayonara.
Fuck yeah, Ocean's 11.
I actually went to that fountain, and generally it just has like a bad EDM soundtrack.
Oh, right.
And I was like, Ocean's 11 lied to me. It was such a classy moment in the game, and it sucks here.
In the movie.
Like all of Vegas. Fuck Vegas.
You've been like twice, right?
I've been like three or four times.
That is insane. I've been to America like 7 times,
it's
and
horrible.
I don't think I've ever been to Vegas.
I fucking hate Vegas.
Why do you keep going?
The last time it was Hoover Dam and the Neon Graveyard, and that's it.
The what Beavis and Butthead do America tour.
Yeah, totally.
My number 7.
Yes.
I guess. Gatto Roboto.
Ah, I thought, yep, called it, knew it would show up on your list.
So another game published by Devolver Digital. Who the fuck is ringing bells? You know what it is? It's a home ice cream truck.
Oh, damn.
Should we get some home ice cream?
Lemons, pause the
app. Okay, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Goddamn, ice cream is good.
Oh, boy.
We just bought... there's this thing in Sydney in the suburbs. I don't know if it's Australia-wide. It's called Home Ice Cream. And basically, I don't know what schedule they stick to. And they only do some suburbs, but it's only a suburban thing. They don't go anywhere near the city.
No, it's like I've never seen a home ice cream truck.
So they drive around in trucks and they have a bell and they just ga-ding, 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 ga-ding. And you run out there. We used to have this thing called Mr. Whippy. And Mr. Whippy is like a soft serve ice cream van.
Yeah, but they play like Green Sleeves.
You go, oh my God, that's Mr. Whippy. And you run out and you get like a cone with soft serve ice cream in it, maybe some sprinkles on it.
Chuck dip that bad boy.
Yeah, and put a flake in it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. But that doesn't really happen anymore. Home ice cream, on the other hand, you hear the bell, you're like, that's the home ice cream bell.
Or in our case, you hear the bell and you go, who the fuck's ringing a bell around here?
We're trying to record a podcast.
And then you realize it's home ice cream.
And so you can only buy in bulk.
Yeah.
So I just bought 30 chocolate fudge. Ice popsicles, creams. Ice creams for $12.
Yeah, insane.
That's so cheap.
I got like 15 like chalk dipped ones with sprinkles on them for like 73 cents each. It was like $11.50 or something. Just insane.
So we run back into my house like two dumbass school kids who just bought all these ice creams. Like, look what we did. And my wife's like, oh, we just bought some before you did. So now there's no room in my freezer. It's just full of ice cream.
I was really hoping that, like, because you were looking for vegan ice creams because you got sister coming around, sister's a vegan, etc.
One kind of dairy. Yep.
I was really hoping B would be like, oh, I bought the vegan ones. Like, yeah. she bought the truck out, but sadly it was not to be.
Yeah, very surprising that home ice cream would even try and cater to vegan.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Although they're not cater hard enough, clearly.
Yeah.
Anyway, Gatto Roboto, everybody.
Gatto Roboto.
Gatto Roboto, published by Devolver. It was developed by Doinksoft.
Doink.
And it was a really, really sweet, cute, black and white Metroidvania. Now, when I've played, I reckon, more than 30 Metroidvania games in my life. I've played several Metroid games. I've played several Castlevania games. And would you believe, John, I've played tens of several games that have combined the two, thus creating the genre Metroidvania.
Right.
And one of the biggest traits of these games, beyond like, you know, it being an adventure that you can't access the entire map at first, you've got to get upgrades to then it, but they're always like quite long experiences.
Yes.
And so Gatto Roboto is a 3 to 5 hour long Metroidvania.
Sure.
And for that, it belongs on this list.
Yeah, of course.
Because it is so sweet and you never get sick of it. It introduces heaps of new mechanics and it's really, really fun in that, like, yeah, you're a cat, basically, like your owner, his spaceship crashes into a planet. He can't leave the spaceship, so he sends you in a mech.
Yes.
And where Super Metroid would have you in your suit, you can crouch down and then become a ball to go into small areas. in Gato Roboto, you have to just leave the mech
yeah.
and be a cat and then kind of explore other areas as a cat who dies if anything hits you, or you can be in a mech which can take lots and lots of damage. Yeah. There are several other vehicles that you man throughout the game. There is a mouse who basically is also able to take control of mechs, and he's your main enemy
yep.
in the game. It's just so much fun, and I came very close to 100%ing it. It would have been higher if I could have, because there was a small bug in the game when I played it, which was, you know, it was before the game actually launched, so fair enough.
Sure.
But I came very, very close to 100%ing this game. It's just so much fun. You unlock filters. A few games have done this year. Filters to basically turn the game different colors.
Yeah.
But I played it in black and white the whole time. I thought it looked great.
Oh,
I loved it. It was just a really, really fun experience, and it kind of like the essence of what I want in a small game.
Yeah.
I am someone who does not have the amount of spare time that I would like to have. So I think that is the main reason that I turned to indie games, because the AAA ones, as well as also being like a huge waste of time alongside all of the actual good gaming stuff.
Mm.
It asks so much of you. And out of your time. So being able to play a small experience is why I like indie games, and Gato Roboto was just like a pure little injection of Metroidvania.
Yeah.
And a very good one.
Exactly what you need. Cool. What was this? 8?
That was I think it was 7.
7?
Should we recount?
So we've had...
Sayonara Wild Hearts was 10 for me.
Grindstone was 10.
Slay the Spire was 9.
Children of Mortar.
What the Gulf.
Sayonara Wild Hearts.
Gato Roboto.
And my number 7 is Katana Zero.
Oh, very. Yeah. Another Devolver game.
Yeah, Devolver. Another strong year from Devolver. They just...
I would say maybe their strongest.
Really? Mm. Interesting. Okay. I would not disagree. Katana Zero was banned in Australia.
For a small amount. I think you can get it
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I think it's available now. But like, I remember when it came out, we were both very eager to play. And you have your little American... account
yep,
trick
that's right.
that you do, whereas I was just like, oh shit. I played on, that's right, it was banned on Switch, it wasn't banned on PC, because for some reason Steam gets around this shit. So I grabbed it on PC, played it there. You play as a sort of I guess samurai, would that be the best way to do they use katanas?
Or maybe even ex-samurai. But he also ties to the war as
yeah,
well.
He was a soldier in the war who was given this experimental drug that essentially allows him to manipulate time. Not so much like he can't travel back in time or anything, but like it almost gave him the ability to like save point his life, go and do stuff, fuck it up, and return to the save point and go until he works out the best way to do it.
He can also slow down time, though.
Yes, he can. So it's this, and it's sort of like this storyline of you kind of finding out why you're still being manipulated by the government with this drug and all this kind of stuff. It's very fun to play. Like it's super satisfying to kind of tear through a level. Really well, like tactically, and nail everything off the bat. Sort of my friend Pedro-ish, but
as I say, this is the main game that took the wind out of my friend Pedro's sales for me.
It kind of did what my friend Pedro were trying to do, but a lot better. I thought it had like great moments of humor through it. The whole like there's a weird little subplot that goes on throughout the game where you listen to various enemies as they talk about someone called Scary Terry.
Yeah.
Scary Terry, was that it?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. And also, what was the name of that gang that people were... That someone was trying to join?
It's been so long since I played it.
Yeah, same. I can't remember, but it's...
We had some very
the
great
something Rickies,
it.
The like...
Yeah, Pretty Rickies.
Pretty Rickies, yeah. Or it's like, you know, you start off as like a handsome Richard, and then you become a Pretty Ricky
that's
or
right,
something
yeah,
like
yeah.
that. Just weird, funny things like that, but... yeah, just the combat felt great, and I thought overall it was a really cool little experience.
It had an excellent story as well, which, yeah. You know, it's not something typical of your very kind of, you know, quick reflex action games.
Yeah.
Like this one.
One of those games where, like, the combat actually makes you feel powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're on to number 6.
Last game of the app.
So this is a game featured heavily. In fact, this is actually... one of our favorite games of the year.
Right.
And when I say one of us, I mean Archie. This sure. is his favorite game of 2019, and it's my 6th favorite, Untitled Goose Game.
Awesome.
Made and developed by House
down in Melbourne.
Published by Play, is that what they're called?
No, they're called PlaySoft, maybe?
No, they're the guys that are doing that
yeah.
cool, cranky, like the next thing that they're putting out, that their console in 2020.
Yeah, that'll
you play with a crank.
That'll be great.
I'm on the mailing list. As soon as I can buy one,
It's Playtronic. Playtonic.
Is it? It
doesn't have it written here, unfortunately, which is kind of annoying.
I don't think Playtonic is right.
Panic. I knew there was an ick in there. Anyway.
Panic published it.
Yeah.
Untitled Goose Game. I mean, you know, this is probably the most famous indie game of the year.
Yeah, definitely.
And certainly the one in meme territory that just kind of took over. I am one of many people that would love to see this character brought to Super Smash Brothers. Sure. And I don't think you can say this about any other character in an indie game this year.
Shovel Knight?
I would love to see Shovel Knight in there. I think he would absolutely be such a fun character to play as in there. But,
sure.
But yeah, I mean, Goose would be incredible. Untitled Goose. Out of that. Look, I think when I first started playing this game, I beat the first farm level, and I was kind of like, oh, is this all this game is? But I am going to put this out there. Don't play Untitled Goose Game by yourself.
Yeah.
Play it with people, all of you yelling different things at the screen to try and help you finish it.
Most people just yelling honk.
Yeah. I played it with both my kids. It was, I mean, we recorded an episode about it. It was the first game that the three of us were able to play together and talk about. They all wanted a turn, and like, you know, each of them played the game pretty much the same, just honking while running around in circles. It was one of the first games that Archie was able to get his head around as a control of, because he knew what each button did.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's so low risk, obviously he's not going to try and actually do any of the tasks, but he was able to just mess around in the world without the fear of getting killed or losing stuff. Like, it's a really, really fun... it's a really fun open world to fuck around in.
I've heard it mentioned, and I think it is a really important point, that like... the fact that there is no deaths in the game means you just feel free to experiment and do whatever you want, like try whatever you want to try, because there's no risk of like, oh, I failed kind of thing.
Totally.
It's just like, ah, like, oh, nuts, the farmer grabbed the carrot back. Let's try something else.
Yeah.
Sort of thing.
I loved, like, you know, I almost would consider giving this a nod for best soundtrack of the year, even though it's a difficult one to, like, you can't pick out a favorite piece of music from it. But like the integration of music in Untitled Goose Game is so cool and different. Just the way, like, you know, the piano just starts plinking away, the more mischievous you are, the more mischievous it gets.
Yeah.
I thought it looked wonderful. And it's going to be an experience that my kids will forever remember as like one of the first games they ever played. They've both got Untitled Goose Game t-shirts coming in the mail.
Amazing.
Unfortunately, wasn't able to make the Christmas rush, but it's almost better to get presents outside of Christmas, right?
Yeah, exactly. Christmas, you expect them.
Happy January 21.
Hell yeah.
Archie and Tilly.
New Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, look, I loved it. I imagine we're going to see this on your list too, so I look forward to talking about it again.
Yes. My sixth is... How can I justify this? Because my sixth comes from our Cheat Week episode.
Oh, wow.
If you remember that. It's Control. I understand this could be a contentious choice.
Well, especially because I could have put Death Stranding on mine, you motherfucker, but oh well.
Well, look, I feel like if I tried to be like, all right, let's discuss some parameters for the top 10, you would have been like, nah, dude, save it for the Ep, man. Save it for the Ep. Yeah, sure, there wouldn't have been any option. And look, you still got your top five to go, so you can scramble it in there quickly if you want.
But at the top five, how can I take a game out of my top five?
I don't know.
So we do we have a group of our friends run a Facebook group. Well, I run it, I guess. Angus from HeyFam and I started it years ago.
You admin it. I'm the one in there doing most of the posting.
That's true.
Now.
Yeah, it's pretty desolate now that we've all started our own podcast with spin-off groups and things like that. Every year we do like a Game of the Year awards, and everyone in the group is given like 6 points that they can assign to a game. A friend of ours, Thomas McMullen, aka Shag, came up with this voting system, and it works very well.
Works great.
So I always like pick six games and give each of them 1 point each.
Sure.
I know other people would just be like, I liked one game this year. Here's all 6 points, and that always ends up winning.
Both of those have happened.
Yeah. but my six games were my top five, which you'll hear in our next episode.
Of course.
And Death Stranding.
Right.
So there you go. So I guess the next game I would put on my list is Death Stranding.
Sure.
Then my top five.
I am... I apologize. We could have discussed this beforehand. I just couldn't resist. Since we did it on the Cheat Week and I liked it so much, I was
that's
fuck,
great.
It's going in.
Yeah, yeah.
And just the more I thought about it, the more Remedy Entertainment... maybe not in size, but definitely in spirit, they're an indie studio. Like, they've never... They've never capitulated to sort of modern game trends. They've never thrown a fucking battle royale in or done any multiplayer or anything like that. They've always just focused on like telling really weird and interesting stories with some pretty captivating gameplay. And I think Control is just the sort of like the culmination of years of making stuff like Alan Wake and Quantum Break and to a certain extent like Max Payne.
Damn, I was so hoping you were going to do one that rhymed with Wake and Beck.
Yeah. Alan Wake and Payne, comma, Mac.
Nope.
That didn't work at all. But yeah, it's just, it's one of those games where the combat felt fucking great. Another, like Katana Zero, it just, it made you feel so powerful to inhabit this character and get into all kinds of mix-ups with enemies. But for me, the overarching thing of what made it fantastic is just the story. Like, this weird government agency that like is charged with taking care of paranormal events, and like they've got all these items that have been imbued with like paranatural powers that you can like read about and interact with, and you have to go chase some down when they escape, and it's just really cool and really weird and interesting, and like the architecture of the building you're in is fantastic. It was just one of those like, again, this is another game that I thought would kind of, like, when it came out, because it was, it did have tech issues when it came out. There were definite problems with, like, frame rates dropping during heavy combat and, like, coming off the pause menu and issues with cutscenes. But I've actually been, found it really heartening to see how many Game of the Year lists it's popped up on.
Yeah, cool.
I don't know why I find it so heartening. I don't know why I need to be like, oh, my taste is being reinforced by the major press outlets.
No, if something is good, you want, yeah, you want them to succeed.
Yeah. So, yeah, and there's definitely, there are games, more often than not, they will be my top two games of any given year. So we'll see in the next episode which those are. But those are the ones that I use as a litmus test for Games of the Year lists that people put out. Like,
well, I haven't seen my favorite game of the year on any top 10 list this year. So, yeah.
Okay. But yeah, Control. It's the only game I would describe as not a small game that I played this year. And it's by no means a AAA. Like, it sits in, you know, AA or less kind of thing. But I did feel kind of proud, like, oh, it's been all indies this year. I didn't succumb to anything else.
Well, I mean, it was a pretty lame year for AAAs, I thought. Yeah. Like, I mean, there wasn't, when you compare it to last year, when we had God of War and Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And the year before that, you know, Mario Odyssey, Zelda Breath of the Wild. Like, Nintendo had a really strong year of doing, like, a lot of 8, 9 out of 10 games. Like, you know, Fire Emblem, probably the best in the franchise. But it hasn't done, like, Super Smash Brothers last year, like, that's a 10 out of 10 for a Super Smash Brothers game for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mario Odyssey, Zelda Breath of the Wild, two of the best games of that franchise ever.
Sure.
Since then, there have been really, really great high points. But actually, interestingly, my favorite Nintendo game of the year is an indie game. So you'll be hearing about that in the next episode. But
can't wait to listen to this next episode.
Yeah, I thought across the board, like AAA, like, you know, Death Stranding, obviously, like, you know, if you were able to put the time in it and find what made that game good, which I was able to,
sure,
it was one of your favorite games of the year. But so many people fucking hated that game. It was very split, opinion was split divisive on that game. What else have you got? Like, there was very few AAA experiences that, like, you know, Fallen Order, Jedi Fallen Order, yeah, Star Wars game was, like, you know, like, good, but with a caveat of, like, oh, it's pretty buggy and, like, you know, sure, I think the next one will be so much better.
Yeah. Sekiro, yep. Shadows Die Twice was another one.
That was insane that won the Game of the Year game. Yeah. Like, I loved it that it did just because it's so weird, like, that for that kind of game to win
definitely.
It. But, like, I would also, like, I would be very surprised if more than 15% of people who have played that game have actually finished it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because those games are fucking hard as hell. Like, I mean, who's finishing that? Who's beating that last boss in that game?
I have absolutely no idea, but good luck to
them. And I have weird rules where I'm like, I can't put a game in my, I can't say a game is my game of the year unless I finished it, right?
Okay, yeah, totally. Yeah. I had to be like, no, I finished that one. Okay,
yeah,
go. Sweet.
Yeah.
But I mean, then there's, of course, there's a couple of standouts like that, and then there's just fucking fodder like Call of Duty: Modern Warfare and
this is the Division, cod-hating game,
the Division 2.
Oh, Ubisoft had a bizarre year, where they think they're now restructuring the way they make their games after, you know, pretty much being the blueprint for how an open world game works. It looks like they're going to be the ones changing it up. But anyway, it's been a weird year for AAA games, and I would argue that especially in the first half of the year, this has, like, been one of the strongest That was one of the strongest 6 month periods for indie games.
Definitely.
Ever. And a good deal of the games in my top five are from that first. I feel like it was like kind of like from like March to June was just like all bangers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you had, was it September where it was like Untitled Goose Game and Apple Arcade on the same day?
Yeah, that was insane. That was a crazy good day. Yeah.
What a day.
Yeah.
So it was just, if we recorded an ep, it was just you and I being like, ah! cool. Well, that is 10 through 6.
Let's do it again. So my 10 through 6, number 10 was Sayonara Wild Hearts. Number 9 was Slay the Spire. Number 8 was What the Golf. Number 7 was Gato Roboto. And number 6 was Untitled Goose Game.
My number 10 was Grindstone, followed by Children of Malta in number 9. Number 8 was Sayonara Wild Hearts. Number 7 was Katana Zero. And 6 was Control.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode, and we hope we'll see you again next week. By then, it will have been Christmas and whatever religious holiday you do or do not celebrate. So happy end of the year to all of our many denominational listeners.
Yes. we're a broad church here at All the Small Games.
Yeah. I hope good old festive present bringer himself gave you codes for indie games. As is the tradition.
He emailed them to you.
Yeah.
He came down your email's chimney and dropped a bunch in your inbox. We'll be back in a week with our 5 through 1.
Yeah, looking forward to it. In the meantime, you can find us online at facebook.com/allthesmallgames or on Twitter at allthesmallgame. We are on email as well, at so just allthesmallgames@gmail.com.
That's right. If you have any thoughts about our 10 through 6...
Well, you want to let us know your 10 through 6, but not 5 to 1.
Oh my God, you hold off on that shit till we tell you, and then you drop that.
And then maybe our first episode of January, we'll go through a few top 10 lists that others have sent us through email.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
You can get in touch with us individually. John is at 16tacos on Twitter and Instagram, and I'm at levdog, LEVDOWG. John, it's been a hell of a year so far.
Yeah.
I look forward for the rest of the year, and in particular, recording that next episode with you.
Yeah, hell yeah. Also, hopefully the home ice cream... ice cream truck comes around again and we buy more.
Eat some more ice cream. We should record here more often. This rules.
Yeah. Only during summer, though.
Oh.
Do you reckon home comes around in winter?
That's the home soup truck. All right. See you next time, everybody.
Bye.
See you, Archie. Thanks for all your input this year.
You did great.
And my other ones are the ones that remember, once you switch, nobody else likes them except me. In the world.
In the world, that's right. You're the only fan of 1-2 Switch.
Oh, right, of course,
They should make that your bio. Archie Levins, aspiring games journalist and world's only fan of 1-2 Switch.
Sole 1-2 Switch fan.
Okay, bye Archie.
Not even you.
No, I hate it. It's the worst game ever. I play it because you like it.
And that's the important thing.
Merry Christmas.
One time I even beated him on the phone. I was like, and he dropped his one on the floor.
Yeah, that's how you won. See you, Archie.
Bye, Archie.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.